So look, we've had discussions recently, right, about how we've got to develop our product, how we've got to make use of obviously the latest technologies. And also you guys come from different parts of the world, in the sense of obviously different parts of the industry, right? So obviously you, Mr. Fair, many years obviously experience in IT, obviously IT management, you would say. Obviously, Michael, you're coming in obviously into the whole development cycle with Python coding, obviously all the new latest AI, if you like, programming techniques. And what we've discussed over the last, I would say, 3 or 4 weeks, since obviously we had the Gitex, is obviously how do you mix both your disciplines? Because you have to work together, right? There's no escaping that, is there?
Right.
And I see, obviously, in lots of businesses, you know, we've seen lots of AI products that's being developed there, you know.
Yeah.
Very good websites, very good sort of ideas. But then when you look behind, there's no IT infrastructure. We speak to Lenovo all the time, and you look at their wonderful technologies. Again, great, great infrastructure, but there's no software behind it. Right. So think about it from completely different angles here. If I ask you as an AI expert, what does IT mean to you?
I think that for AI perspective or modeling perspective, I think AI and the modeling part goes hand in hand and side by side, right? You can't model an AI without an IT infrastructure in place, right? So having the correct infrastructure helps complement the AI modeling and eventually the product development lifecycle. So identifying the correct or the...
So it's a need. Yeah,
it's a need.
It's
basically
a need. You can't do your stuff without...
Exactly,
What does AI mean to you as an IT person?
See, as an IT, AI is a new technology. As what Michael has said very rightly, it goes hand in hand. Hand in hand means what? Now the modeling which has been done, it needs a back infrastructure layer beneath it, which should support his workloads. AI workload, what we call. Why AI workload? Because AI is all about data. In data, if you have data, you have AI model, and you don't have processing power, then he cannot do anything. So for me, AI means what? As an AI, from IT perspective, infrastructure purpose, I should facilitate a platform for him where he can run his modeling, inferencing, anything, and come up with the product.
So in terms of IT departments, as you know them, are they ready for that? Are they ready? Are they in a position where if someone like a Michael comes along and says, oh, okay, you can do this, are they able to cope with that at the moment?
See, at the moment, transition is happening. There needs a paradigm shift.
No, what's happening at the moment, though?
That's something. A paradigm shift is required. Now it's changing because IT background guys realize that if they have a fixed mindset, they are not going to be, they're going out of market. So it's change is happening now. How soon? It's up to them, every individual person, how we accept it and move forward.
But isn't that going to come from the developer? So again, Michael, you've been in positions now, haven't you, where you need certain services, didn't you?
Right.
So explain that then, because you've been working with us, the other cloud providers. Right?
Yeah, so technically you need the correct infrastructure, right? So you don't usually find that everywhere, because I think it's uncommon, right? So not everybody do it, or not everybody can provide you with the correct infrastructure or the compute power that we need in the product development. So we tend to go with the much more easy to get access with, like for example the Google Colab,
right,
or other cloud provider services wherein we can do our modeling. But obviously there's limitations on that, right? It's very limited.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But then, so is that something, obviously you had to go and do that. So obviously working internally, was that something that you told IT about?
Yeah, basically it's part of the product development where we need to give the IT our requirement in terms of processing, for example, the volume of the data that we want to process, right? So it's up to the IT to give us the platform, like what Mustafa said.
So as a business, what happens? There's a sweet spot, isn't there? So as Michael doing his experimentation, and doing his modeling, as you mentioned. Now, the more number of models you can run, the better, obviously, your product development
yes.
will be. Obviously, the quicker you can do it, yes. The quicker the route to market, obviously, the wider it is. But from an IT perspective, you can't, you know, obviously, he's had to spin up a public cloud to do that.
Exactly.
Which is understandable, isn't it?
Yeah.
From an IT perspective, when do you decide, actually, you know what, we've got to invest in this, or we've got to, you know, bring in a certain amount of GPUs? Where's as an IT, you've got a fixed IT budget, right?
Yep.
So what do you do in that?
See, now from investment, what is a showstopper for now AI is the risk infrastructure. But for infrastructure, what is a showstopper is a budget.
Right.
Because HPC infrastructure, every corporate and every organization cannot afford, you know. So from the his perspective, when he wants to do the modeling, it is better to use the public cloud. But when a product is ready, then we can invest, because
that's the thing. It's not ready though, is it?
It's not ready. So
is it, Michael?
No.
Because that's where there's a gap, right? In the sense that you can use Google Cloud up to a certain point. And that could be, obviously, there's a restriction in terms of how much data you put on there, right? So what's the two processes? There's a synthetic data.
Exactly.
You test the hypothesis. Then you might get actual data. Okay, then you need to put that on an infrastructure. What do you do? He comes to you now with real data. What do you do?
So we have to provision the infrastructure. But as of now, we don't have it.
We have to buy it.
We don't have it. That is what I'm saying. We don't have it.
So what do you do?
So we have to go to our management, get the budget, and get the facility for that.
So
we are the showstopper for them. Let me put it from that perspective. Yeah, okay. Yeah. In showstopper, in which perspective, you know, because there is a reason behind it, you know, Raj. What is the reason? You see, HPC, as I mentioned, anybody cannot be afford for the, first of all, the cost involved, and it is not been used from business perspective because it takes some time.
Historically.
Because in traditional IT infrastructure was that when we invest, business get used of it. But in a development cycle, it needs like an R&D part of it. So every organization cannot afford for the R&D point of it. But in a development company has to do it. We have to have the infrastructure.
There's probably, and there's maybe three phases here. You've got your initial development where you test the hypothesis. You have then maybe your MVP where you've got the first instance of a product.
Right.
And then, but there's the continual learning.
Exactly.
Right? So as an IT, let's say IT management, IT head, you now have a requirement that's come in.
Correct.
He's basically come to you with, you've got your IT infrastructure internally.
Yes.
You've got your Google Cloud, let's say, for argument's sake. And on top of that, you may then have... So you've got a hybrid situation already.
Exactly.
Right? You then say, okay, let's say for argument's sake, he's got four or five projects on the go. And let's say you can buy a GPU box. Yes. Let's just say you can buy a GPU box. Great. So now he can fully test that product. What if you get into a position now, he's continued learning, and a new card comes out, a new GPU comes out. How does IT manage that?
See, there are two approaches for that. One is that this is a continuous process. AI is a continuous process. Earlier application was one time, invest, bank, business uses. Yeah.
Maybe a quarterly update.
Yeah, quarterly update. Yeah. But here, as you mentioned correctly, we were just talking about A100.
Yeah.
And today it become obsolete. In a year's time, investing millions of dollars with it become obsolete. So as an IT people, they are very stingy also and showstopper for them for AI, that is for sure. So what fun as two option is what, you know, during the product development phase, we can have some static or development instance of HPC cluster available for them.
Yeah.
And for production, we can have separate scalable. Why? Because that time business will see the value of the AI driven product, you know, because they will see the return on investment from that. So business will invest.
Yeah.
So two approaches, what I'm trying to summarize as well. During the development phase, we should have a testing or development environment, which can be in-house or which can be brought from the service provider. But for production, we need to have it.
Okay.
But in that, there are two types of approach, because AI is what? It's not in a centralized based solution. It is to be edge-based.
Now the thing is, here's another problem. Now, yesterday we were discussing a particular application, and surprisingly, maybe not so surprisingly, obviously IT infrastructure now goes beyond just the servers, beyond the switches.
Right.
Now you're talking IoT, we're talking about certain cameras, certain devices that will sit on the edge, which I still think there's a long way for the industry to go. Because obviously with IoT, sensors that are out now, all the data is being collected, it's being processed. Now that there's more compute available, more sensors will go out.
Right.
And I think one of the ideas that... I was actually surprised by it, but the IT infrastructure came back to you with an idea.
Right.
And actually said, this is where you can have levels of processing. So doesn't that affect your next level of then production, your next level of product development?
Yeah, I mean...
you didn't think of that, right?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, you didn't think of that. So now you're open to... Now IT is coming up with ideas.
Ideas,
right?
Yes.
Right? which we didn't expect, did we?
Yes, no.
So how then do you cope with that? So now that's open. Who gives you ideas? Domain expert, university, IT now, maybe value creation.
Value creation,
right? So from your perspective, you now have multiple data sets, multiple APIs, multiple potential processing units.
Right.
How are you going to manage that? Or how do you, how do you plan that out?
Well, eventually in the product development, you need to have like a pipeline.
Right.
Like from end-to-end pipeline, starting from gathering data acquisition and collection, from the modeling.
Right.
From the deployment and to the monitoring side, right? So it needs to be in a pipeline. So that's also need to be considered in terms of the hardware, need to run that pipeline, right? So
maybe simulation is a good thing. So maybe before, as a programmer, were you more conscious before where you would actually do programming? Someone would say, here's something I need, you would program it and give it back to them.
Right.
Now you've got simulation software, right? You're probably in a better position to simulate a few ideas first before you then say, okay, here's a business case for it.
Yeah, I think before, in that scenario, I think they give me data,
right.
I could give them one result,
right?
But having a infrastructure, they give me data, I could give them 10 or 20 models or result, right? So here's the best model for you, right? So that's something that a benefit.
Right.
Having the HPC, for example, is you can just experiment and simulate.
Right. Okay.
Can I add one point or not? What you're saying makes sense, but what I feel from my perspective, we should have a product architecture, like what we have an architecture for hardware, where we say how many CPU and GPU we depends on the AI workload. As you mentioned correctly, the cycle of an AI-based product goes from data, modeling, inferencing, testing, deployment. So if you have an architecture, then automatically the infrastructure point of view for those touch points will come automatically. So my recommendation for a product development company to have a bigger picture now. Because until now, what we were doing is just to test it and come bring the accuracy. What was an accuracy? What was the best model? That is a basic and very important thing for an AI-based product development. But now we have to come within a bigger picture, which helps us for the commercialization.
So that's actually a good point. So if you look at your IT role in the past, so Michael's discussed how as a programmer what he would do in the past,
exactly.
And now what he's able to do.
Same thing, yeah.
So from your perspective, you've gone, not from, but it's not like you're still doing product management where you look at existing technologies and how they would be deployed, but you're now looking at product development.
Exactly.
Right? So obviously while you're not programming the product, but the infrastructure is going to be part of the product development and your code will sit on certain parts of that infrastructure, right?
Yeah.
There's a joint...
Yeah. It's a complementing now. Yeah. It's not the demarcation is that you do up to this and then I do not.
Yeah.
It's a complementing each other because in AI, when it comes to deployment, it is a architecture which plays a role. Okay, which part of your product will be available at the end user or on the edge node or on the regional node? That is in a different thing.
So you have to be agile anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right? You have to be agile as a software programmer, etc. So now, does IT need to be agile?
Yes.
So how does IT be agile? How do you change? There's no disrespect to the IT industry or the IT managers, but perhaps sometimes the level of agility in an IT department, for understandable reasons, right? If you invest $5 million into a hardware, now how do you actually make that agile? It's difficult to do, right?
Yeah, because the train is changing. Why it has to change from agile perspective? Why I said IT has to be because previously the mindset was that everything is in-house,
right?
So that is why there was no agility. Now everybody has to think from perspective of the cloud services, because in clouds there are models as a services, I as a service, PaaS as a service. So that agility has to be there from the infrastructure perspective.
Right.
So IT mindset will change because they don't have to buy the hardware and keep it idle when usage, but they will pay as they use. So that is why we are seeing nowadays the most of the services are coming as a service.
Right.
Previously the vendors were selling the boxes. Now what train has changed? They are selling the services. That paradigm shift has changed. So IT has to change from agility point of view, from a fixed mindset, fixed infrastructure to service model, even though it is for enterprise.
Okay, that's interesting. So it's going through services.
Going through services. It's not like you're having and just applying to service mindset has to go.
Yeah. So one of the discussions we should have probably next time is, because obviously you'll give cybersecurity people a heart attack because you're having to be so agile and move data around. that's going to be a difficult data difficult, governance yeah. and data yes. management.
Exactly. See, any technology, anything comes with the benefits, but with its own risk factor.
Yeah, yeah.
That is how you have to evaluate whether you are capable to take that risk.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. The risk will be there for anything, you know, name it a product, name it technology, name it anything.
Yeah. Okay, no, so this, I think it's a good start. I mean, we definitely have to, you know, carry on these type of conversations and bring in, like I say, cybersecurity,
right.
obviously the HPC specialist
yeah.
as well.
Yeah. Sure.
I think from a big tech engagement, whether it be NVIDIA, Intel, and Lenovo, on the learning side,
yeah.
right, that's one thing I think from a learning side. What would you say, you know, how often do you learn now in terms of what's happening in your own coding side,
mm-hmm.
and how much work do you, or are you putting any work into learning about IT or other aspects? Is there anything on that you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, like what Mustafa said, AI is continuous process, right?
Yeah.
Same thing on the learning. AI is continuous learning as well. So every day you see different AI products coming up, different software.
So you're keeping in touch with
we're
those.
Keeping in touch with those, yeah. Especially having NVIDIA.
But in terms of skill set, are you learning anything inside your industry that's specific, or you know, anything outside as well? I mean, I've seen you sometimes, you message me the articles around value creation.
Right.
Something's happened in the news, right? Mm-hmm. So are you looking those up, or they just happen to come in your feed? Is that an active thing you're trying to do?
Yeah, I mean, it's part of the process, right? So on the product development side, I also need to kind of understand what value creation
right.
is. So I'm definitely looking it up.
So yeah. more broader.
Yeah.
Mustafa, I know you're always reading, always studying.
Yes.
So, but are you going beyond the IT side? Is there stuff that you're going into other domains?
Yes. Now, as I've been mentioning quite a few times, you know, there is no thin line of demarcation, is there?
Mm-hmm.
As you ask this question, the best my recommendation for audience and for our team is what? You should be the part of many forums.
Right.
See, reading, you understand by your capabilities, but when you are in the forum or in podcast, you understand from other people's perceptions,
right.
and that makes your understanding better. You know? So my recommendation is that we should be registered to some forums in terms of AI, HPC, which will help us to know, okay, what is going on. See, there is two objectives. One is to knowing what's happening in industry,
right.
and one is developing your skill set, or I can say an expertise. Where, because see, knowing everything doesn't mean I'm expert.
Yeah,
I can know Python.
But do you need to be? But do you need to be an expert? Like you said, with Python's a good example.
Yeah, exactly.
You're learning a bit of Python.
Python also, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
So you can see his point of view when he comes.
Yeah.
Here.
So when he comes, we speak same language.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like I'm speaking Edward language and he's speaking AI. So it should be common language.
But is it gone?
I think it goes for me as well. It's I should not only focus or on my domain,
demo,
right,
yeah.
product development, I should also look into the hardware side,
yeah.
like
picture.
What are the
yeah.
GPUs we have,
right.
what are the capabilities
yes.
that it
yeah,
could
yeah.
give. So I need to also understand those things.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's interesting. So like I said, the cross, I think next time, perhaps there'll be some more detailed stuff. Obviously, there's some webinars planned
yeah.
where I think you can give information to sort of your respective audiences and explain to them how things are changing. I think there is a collaborative element to what we do, and sometimes that collaborative skill can
yes.
be something that you can always keep learning.
Definitely.
You know, communication, we always
exactly.
talk about good communication,
bad communication, yeah.
And so yeah, no, so thank you this time, and yeah, we should do these again.
Oh,
right.
Thank you very
thank
much.
You.
Thank you.
For everybody out there, there'll be some specific webinars that Michael will hold in terms of how developers can be more collaborative, sort of the non-technical side, if you like, almost, and
right.
obviously some technical.
Yeah.
And Mustafa will explain from the IT side how to blend those skills, how to use those skills, that knowledge, that learning capability into the modern world as well. So stay tuned for more webinars and more podcasts.